Well, brethren, here we are at the end of the day, end of the convention. I don't know about, I think everyone here has been fed tremendously. We've had talks of prophecy, encouragement, current events, and greatly blessed, and to see everyone. I think that's been a big blessing also. Brethren, we're watchmen. What do you see? Do we see the night coming around us? Do we see foreboding, anxiety, people's fear, people's anxiety? Or do we see the day? Do we see the incoming kingdom? Do we see hear the Jubilee trump? And what the Lord's led to us this study, I'd like to share with you. Here we are in the midst of this. How do we cope? We see the world is only going to get worse. The anxiety level, the fear level is only going to pick up from here on out. That's the outward. But what about the inward? I know many of us are going through difficulties, not only physical troubles, mental, physical, anguish, perplexities, trying to get through life. And what I'd like to do is share with you a scripture that keeps coming up in my mind. Come on, it worked yesterday. Okay, I need help.
Click it twice for the red. The right arrow key, click it twice.
I did. And it's not advancing.
All right, just restart.
It has to be on the program. On the program. It can't be on Zoom. It has to be on the program, and then it will advance.
I did.
Ed, just restart your program. The way we did
That's what I'm going to do.
The way we did it yesterday. Start it, run it to slide one, and then share it. Just as we did yesterday. Make sure you click on it when you're sharing it.
Is that coming through?
Yes.
Okay, why is this advancing?
Make sure your program is active. Click on the picture and then press your right button or click your mouse or press your space bar to advance.
Okay. All right. Sorry about that, brethren. I'm not too technical when it comes to stuff. But what we'd like to do is talk about a scripture that has been very important to all of us. It was from our Lord's last words in John 17, my people, or 16. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. It's one of the things, come Monday morning, we have to go out and do our regular activities. But to have this peace that Jesus is talking about, this is what we'd like to share with you, because we know in this world, we won't get it. Psalms 29:11, Jehovah giveth strength unto his people. Jehovah will bless his people with peace. Psalms 119:165. Great peace have they that love thy law. They have no occasion for stumbling. Romans 5:1. Being therefore justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because we have this relationship with our Father, we can call him Abba Father. We can call upon him anytime, anywhere, any place. Talk to him about anything that is perplexing us, weighing on our hearts, or just turn around and give him thanks. It's that relationship that we have. We know he always hears us. We know we can always talk to him. And that should give us a great amount of peace and harmony of heart. How do we achieve this peace? It's important. Jeremiah 6:16. Thus says the Lord, stand by and seek and ask for the ancient paths or the old paths. There where the good way is, walk in it and you will what? Find rest for your souls. Our faith is built upon the solid foundation of truth. By applying what we have learned, we can overcome the storms of life. The more we understand present harvest truth, the more we incorporate this into our lives and carry it out in our daily lives, the more the truth gives us the what is happening, why it's happening, and what is the outcome? And isn't that when you view your friends or talk to your neighbors? They don't know what's the outcome or the why or the how come things are happening. We have that peace. We have that understanding. The more we can incorporate this present harvest truth into our lives. For example, we say Jesus is return and is reigning as king. Well, that answers right there, who's in control? Who, and we know a peaceful kingdom is coming in. We know everything will be restored back in order. We don't have to worry about who's in control of this present government. For we know our Father is in complete control of everything. Father, when we look out there, men's hearts will fail them for fear. And you see it, you hear it on the news, you hear it on your neighbors, you hear it in the people you come in contact with. They're fearful. And you hear them, what's this world coming to? It's not like it used to be. All the moral fabric is falling apart. All the financial fabric is falling apart. Everything that we knew 10 years ago is falling apart. But what's our perspective? Do not be afraid, little flock. For your Father has chosen gladly to give you what? The kingdom. That's our perspective. That's what we've been promised. It puts everything in a completely different perspective, doesn't it, brother? Knowing that we are inheritance, that we are children of the Father, and that this kingdom of righteousness is coming in, that the world will be judged equitably in fairness, that gives us great peace. We don't have to worry about things that are going around us. Some hints I'd like to share with you in overcoming fear. Dwelling with and abiding in the care of the Almighty. Just like our little granddaughter and grandson, they rely on and have the parents' love and care. God will always take care of us. He will always provide for us. He will always overrule for us in all our endeavors, whether they be great or whether they be small. Knowing God's truth in the scriptures, and through these, understanding his plans and purposes. Some scriptures that have been very helpful, some promises. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because what? He trusts in you or in God. Trust in the Lord forever. Isaiah 26:3. The peace of God which passes all understanding, Philippians 4:7. Sometimes it's very hard, isn't it? We know that this peace that God gives us past all emotion, all endeavors to describe it. We know that because we trust in God, we trust in our Father, that we have this peace, knowing all things will work together for our good, highest welfare. In Job 34:29, when he giveth quietness, who can make trouble? Look at Job's experiences. They were not easy. But yet, through all his turmoil, all his difficulty of losing everything, not only his home, his health, his family, but yet Job can say this, when he giveth quietness, who can make trouble? No matter what the outward conditions may be, even amid turmoil and trouble, not an outward sense, but an inward tranquility. Jesus said in our opening scripture, in the world we will have tribulation. But yet it's that inward sense of confidence, trust, at peace with our Father, that our Father knows best. Which comes, how do we achieve this? Which comes through strong, unwavering faith. In proportion as we receive the Holy Spirit, depending on full obedience and given unreservingly to God of times, talents, influence, life, in all, none of these can restrain this peace whose mind is stayed, fixed on God. Our peace is in proportion to our staying qualities, from Reaper 43:32. So as we learned the truth, as we incorporate it in our daily lives, in our trust, in our obedience to the Heavenly Father's will, this, and it's fixed, it will stay, help us keep our peace. When we take the proper view of our experiences, we can see no storm can shake our inmost calm while to that refuge clinging. When life's experiences, when life's storms hit us, do we count it as a joy, brethren, like it says in James 1? Consider it a joy, brethren, when you enter into various temptations. Why? Because it proves that God loves us to deal with us, to give us these experiences. Because he loves us so much, he has our highest welfare in his mind. This is what he gives us these experiences to polish us, to help us. Just like he did with Jesus. Though he was a son, he learned obedience by the things which he experienced. Because God loved him so much that he wanted him to be the best possible new creature he could be. And when we know that these experiences are for our highest welfare, when the storms of life hit, yeah, it may be an initial jolt, but remember our stability. It's like the gyroscope. It always goes back to stable. It always goes back to relying on our Father's wisdom in that we can trust him through these experiences. Our Lord is ever present with us. He is always thinking of us. Remember, we have this relationship not only with our Father, we are his sons. We are part of his family. But think of Jesus, just like in this picture. He's carrying us. He's thinking of us for his highest welfare, checking and overruling. We only see I'm convinced we only see a part of what's going on in our experiences. We don't know what goes behind the scenes or what pieces of the chessboard is our Father moving to get us to the desired spot we want to be. So he's always watching out for us, always taking care of us, looking out for our interests, guarding us in danger, just like a shepherd. A true shepherd is always on the lookout for his sheep, watching to make sure they don't wander off, making sure they stay fed, making sure they stay watered, but also protecting them from outside forces that would harm them. And so isn't it with our Lord that we have this peace of mind, that we can rely on him in our deepest distress and our deepest trials by providing for us in temporal and spiritual things? He's reading our hearts, making every impulse of loving devotion to him, shaping the influence around us for our discipline and refining, in hearkening to our faintest call for aid or sympathy or fellowship with him. Remember the promise, brother, and I think it's 1 Peter 5:7. Cast your cares on him. Why? Because he cares for us. That loving care. He is always open to our cries, always opening up to our heart's desires. You have that relationship with our Lord and with our Father that you talk to him like we're talking now. Can you talk to him on such a level and share that you bring him in to our experiences? We share together. Remember, we are not alone in this. We are yoke bearers in our experiences. We have a paracletus, one who stands alongside of us. We have an advocate that we can go to when we need help, when we need aid, when life's experiences get to be so big, so much, where do we turn to? But our Lord and our Heavenly Father. He is never for a moment off guard, whether we call him in a busy noon hours or in the silent watches of the night. Anytime, remember Jeremiah 33:3, the Lord's phone number. Call upon me and I will answer. That's a guarantee. That's a promise. Psalms 29:11. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. And isn't that what he does? We may get our experiences, but we have that promise that he will always grant us escape. He will always provide a way of escape. And he will always bless us. And the end product will always be a greater development of the new creature. God calls us to peace. 1 Corinthians 7:15. The knowledge that all our affairs are under divine supervision. They just don't happen to us. They are by design for our highest welfare. We know that we may come to God. God is in control of our lives. He is not only all loving, but all wise and all powerful. We can only see so much. Some of us, long-term planning is maybe Monday or Tuesday. Some of us can look into next week or in a month. But when our Father knows long-term, can look down the road, look at our actions, overrule and guide so that we can arrive to be a more fully developed new creature. Shouldn't that give us the peace of mind that God is in full control of our lives? We trust that even through physical harm may come to our home and family or person, we know that ultimate good for everything that occurs in our lives. All things, not just some things, work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. You know this scripture. We all know this scripture. This is a promise that we can claim. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Exodus 33:12. Remember Israel's wandering. They were not at peace. They had a lot of difficulties. But if they were obedient and looked at God and did what they, God's commandments, He would have given them rest. But as with us, I will go with you. Claim this promise for yourself, and I will give you the rest through life's endeavors. Where do we dwell, brethren? Dwelling in a secret place. Dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. His truth shall be thy buckler, or shield and buckler. We know this, Psalms 91. Where do we abide? It's when we abide in the shadow of our Father. He is our fortress. He provides guardian angels. He provides the strength. In Him we trust. He is our buckler and shield. It's the truth. It's the shield that gives us our protection so that we can be able to go forth and do our daily activities. Psalms 91:9-11. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall the plague come night thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. For he shall keep thee in all thy ways, brethren. We have this promise. We have guardian angels that daily behold the face of our Father, that God has given us to keep charge of us. That I sometimes say to myself, I'm my own worst enemy, and I am so thankful that guardian angels are watching over my stupidity and my stupid things that I do during the course of the day. Because we strive to make God our holy habitation. Where do we run when we have difficulties? Where do we run when life gets the experiences? We run for our refuge. And God has provided for us, through life's experiences, guardian angels. Psalms 46:1. I think this is a very real Psalms to us right now. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and we can say it is changing, though the seas and the mountains slip into the hearts of the sea. Don't we see that happening? Though its roars roar and foam, don't we see the restless masses of humanity? Though the mountains quake at its swelling. But here's our attitude, brethren. This is what gives us peace to get through the day. There is a river whose stream makes glad the city of God, that makes us happy, that makes us rejoicing, the holy dwelling place of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. God is in the midst of us, brethren. She will not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. What a promise, brethren, that our Father is our refuge, that though all these crazy things are happening around us, the government's falling apart, economy falling apart, social fabric falling apart, where do we dwell? We dwell in places of the Most High, and we see this incoming kingdom. Shouldn't that give us a peace of mind, knowing that what we see around here is only temporary? What we see that's being established is forever. But are all things peace under extreme experiences? I'm thinking of our Lord. You know the scripture. A very severe windstorm on the Galilee Sea. Jesus, the master, in the hinder part of the boat, on a cushion, what was he doing? He was fast asleep. Suddenly, a terrific storm set in and appalled even the most accustomed to such a scene. Remember, these were experienced fishermen, James, Peter, and John. These guys were experienced fishermen. The winds were blowing. The waves were tossing over the gunwales. It was an emergency. They could not bail out the water fast enough. They wondered what the master was sleeping thought it through it all. In other words, the apostles, those on the boat, were having a panic attack. They thought they were going to drown. And they came to him and aroused him, saying, Master, carest thou we perish? And he awaked and rebuked the wind, saying, Peace be still. And immediately there was a great calm. Look at how the master, our Lord, was at great calm, great peace. Why? Because he knew his father would not do anything to him that was not permitted. He would always overrule. He knew, because of scripture, his time was not yet. He knew he could trust his father. He knew he could have his father's overruling. And so he had great peace, while the apostles had to learn that. So isn't it like with us when life becomes so overwhelmed? Master, don't you care? Yes, he does. Because he will make the waves of life, the storms of life, a calm. We can trust that he will do this. The other instance I'm thinking of is, this one amazes me. We study this at Memorial Time. Jesus was in Gethsemane. He sweated great. He was praying to the Father. Father, if it be your will, have this experience pass from me. And then once the angels came and heard, or God heard, God sent angels to him. And what happened? He was strengthened. And from that point onward, while there was great commotion, there was great chaos, there was panic attacks. The Jews didn't know what to do. There was great uproars of crowds. Could you imagine the chaos? You know, a small riot was happening. And here Jesus stands, calm, peaceful, resting in his Father's will. Matthew 27:11. Jesus stood before the governor, and the government questioned him, saying, Are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus said to him, It is as you say. And while he was being accused by the chief priests and the elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, Do you not hear the many things they testify against you? And he did not answer him with regard to even a single charge. So the governor was quite amazed. Can you imagine that? I think this picture says a lot. Jesus was at calm. He was at peace. He knew what his mission was. He knew he had the Father's blessings. He knew he could trust in his Father. And so from that point on, it really didn't matter what happened. Can we draw that same lesson, Father? Can we, through life's experiences, have that same calm and resting in the Father's will? And remember in Acts 16:25, but about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns and praising to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Remember, they were in a tough spot. They were in stocks. They were in prison. But what was Paul and Silas's attitude through this experience? Singing hymns and praying. Brother, I think this is a powerful lesson to learn through our experiences, looking at these experiences with praying and singing. A tested faith yields a life of contentment. And so we can rejoice, even though at times of fear and sorrow, we are recognized that there is a purpose to the suffering. Like our master, we too are being developed to have sympathy for mankind in their sufferings. Doesn't that give you great peace and calm that our sufferings are for a purpose? It's bigger than ourselves. God seeing in us that through our sufferings, the rest of the world can receive a blessing. As the psalmist said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Psalms 23:4. God, our great shepherd, guides and strengthens his little flock by allowing experiences to teach and discipline us. Thy rod and staff, you think when you get disciplined, it's because God is angry. Maybe he is, but look at what the scripture says. It's the rod and the staff. They comfort me. Doesn't that give us a peace of mind, Father, that even in our most severe fumblings, our deviations, God will always bring us back. He will always gently give us what we need. He will give us these experiences for our highest welfare. You know this scripture, brethren. No chastening, disciplining experiences, for the present seems to be joyous. Nobody wants to have difficult experiences, but they're grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceful fruits of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. When I finally got the import of the scripture, I'll share this with you. These experiences we get are gifts from God. He loves us that he wants to develop these peaceable fruits of righteousness, just like what he did with Jesus, just like he did with the apostles, just like he's doing with us, that we fruits of righteousness. By his obedience, by the things which he suffered, being made new perfect as a new creature, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all of them that obey him. Remember, our experiences and life's difficulties are for a purpose. Jesus went through his experiences. Doesn't this make sense, brethren, of our sin offering experiences? Why we have to go through them? Doesn't that give you a great peace of mind knowing why we go through them? It's for that higher purpose, so that when we make our calling and election sure, the world of mankind can look up to each one of us and say, hey, I can relate to them. If they can make it, why can't I? And the church can say, we can help you because I understand where you're coming from. Doesn't that give you a great peace of knowing why we go through these? As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear or reverence him, for he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Psalms 103:13-14. Our Father and our Lord knows we are but dust. But yet by his grace, we are privileged to be called sons of God, that we have this privilege of running for the prize of the high calling. We have this privilege of being part of the sin offering. We have this privilege of turning around and using our experiences for the world of mankind. Doesn't that give you a great peace of mind, Father, that brethren, that our Father pitieth us. He knows our best endeavor, our best intentions. We're still going to fail. We're going to go up the steps, We're going to tumble. We're going to go up 5 steps. We're going to tumble back to 4. He knows that. But are we trying in relying, in trusting that even in our failures, they are for good? And our Lord Jesus knows, because he's experienced that too. He knows. He can be a sympathetic high priest for us. Doesn't that give you a peace of mind, brethren? We will have our peace and faith tested. I think we all know this. Well-known scripture. This is a promise. That the trial of your faith, being more precious than gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto what? Praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:7. Our precious faith is being tested. But by our faith being tested, it will give honor and praise and glory to our Lord Jesus and our Heavenly Father. Doesn't that give you a peace of mind, brethren? That the purpose of our experiences are to glorify our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus. It develops crystallized character, which has remained loyal to him. It also takes time to practice these principles through life's experiences. As many of you know, I like to garden. I have an apple. I have many fruit trees in the backyard. I have an apple tree that I've been waiting 3 years to get an apple, and I've yet to get one. But it takes time for the apple tree to develop. It needs to grow. It needs to bush out. It needs to flower. Then that flower needs to develop into a little itty bitty fruit. Then eventually it'll be a ripe fruit. It doesn't happen overnight. But doesn't that give you peace, brethren, that our Father and Lord Jesus knows we're not going to learn this overnight. We're going to have failures. But a ripe fruit takes time. Remember the fruits of the Spirit. All of these fruits, you're not going to learn them overnight, especially some of us who are impatient have to learn patience, or some of us need to learn self-control. Well, by God's gentle hand, he will bring us into, give us these life's experiences to teach us. Doesn't that give you a peace of mind, brethren? There will be struggles against the flesh, victories to win by God's grace. And I think that's what he sees. It's like with our daughters. When we told them, do this, they said, well, I can't. I don't know how. Luann and I would turn around and say, well, did you try? Try, put one foot in the other. Try to do this. Try to do that. Then eventually you'll be able to get it. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, Romans 7:18. Eventually, if faithful and obedient, this will happen. There is a constant conflict between the mind of the flesh and the mind of the new creature. My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have what? An advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Doesn't that give you a peace of mind, brethren? That John seems to say, all right, you're going to sin. But when you do, what do? We have an advocate with the Father, our Lord Jesus. He hears us. And it's by his merit, his robe that he's given us, his, we're standing with the Father, that our sins will be forgiven. Let us therefore come boldly unto the grace, throne of grace. Why? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's a promise, brethren. Boldly doesn't mean arrogantly. It means with confidence. Why do we have this confidence? Because we know we have that advocate. We know we have that access with the Father. We know he is overruling for us. He knows that he remembers our frame and we are dust. And we have this at any time, anywhere, any place, we have access. This peace of mind gives us rest. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are heavy, weary, and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How does he do this? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And what will happen? And you will find rest for your souls. Our experiences are, we are not alone. We have a yoke bearer. Our Lord Jesus is with us in our experiences. He helps us carry the load. And brethren, look around in this room and the contact that you have with fellowship. Don't we have other fellow yoke bearers in the flesh right now? Don't you realize that God has provided brethren to help us, to understand us? And Jesus said in verse 30, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Those who wear this yoke have the assurance of the divine word that all things are working together for good to them. That the heavier the burden that may be attached, the greater will be the blessing and reward by and by. The more severe the experience during the present time, the brighter shall be the glory and the brighter shall be their character. And the more assured shall be they of being fixed, fitted, and polished for the heavenly kingdom. From this standpoint, every burden is light because our yoke is appreciated and so reasonable, so easy and reasonable. In addition, it is so light because the Lord is with us in this yoke. Reprint article 26:25. I thought that was profound, what the pastor said. The heavier the experience, the greater the blessing. The greater the blessing, the greater, if we are faithful, our star will shine. And the more our Lord will appreciate our experiences. And if we look and take the position, it's hard to do, of our experiences, our light afflictions, but provide a far exceeding way of glory. Doesn't that give you a peace of mind, brethren, that our experiences when we suffer for Christ's sake, that we overcome the world, the flesh, and the adversary, we have that smile of approval. They're appreciated because we are trying to follow in Christ's footsteps. A poem, come unto me. Come unto me, that all ye that labor. Come, and I will give you rest. Come to me, ye heavy laden. Come and lean upon my breast. Take thine easy yoke upon you, for my burden is light, and my heart is meek and lowly, for pleasing in his sight. Come to me, ye brokenhearted. Let me all your sorrows bear. Faithful be until thy life is ended. Then my glory ye shall share. Hebrews 4:8. For if Joshua had given them rest, so there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest, as he has also rested from his works, as God did for him. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter into that rest, so that no one will fall, though following the same example of obedience. Manna, May 18th. We which have believed do enter into rest, Hebrews 4:3. Our rest in the Lord is complete, as is our belief in him. He who believes fully, rest fully. He who believes only partially, rest partially. The ideal condition of the spiritual Israelites is the attainment of perfect rest, a perfect Sabbath keeping, in the present experience, in a waiting and laboring for one another, and still more complete rest, the actual rest of perfect condition, the rest that remains for the people of God. Therefore, let us therefore labor to enter into that rest, Sabbath rest, lest any man fall after the example of unbelief, like fleshly Israel. Believe fully, rest fully, trust fully in what our Father's will is for you. Waiting and laboring and resting, doesn't that give you a sense of peace? Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Psalms 37:7. Also, along with peace, along with rest, I found contentment. 1 Timothy 6:6. Godliness actually is a means of great gain, one accompanied by contentment. Better English says, but true faith with peace of mind is of great profit. Brethren, as we read in Psalms 46, the restless seas of humanity. Everybody wants something. Everybody demands something. Everybody is after something. We want more. We want this. We want that. But is that the proper view of the new creation? God has provided everything we need. Everything that we need in the flesh, can have. Everything we need to make our call and election sure, God has provided. And notice that in proportion, godliness and contentment, they go hand in hand. Contentment means resting and having that peace of God dwelling in us. Manna, March 6th. I have learned, this is Paul, he can confidently say this. I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to be abound. If we find our experiences in life very checkered, we may conclude that the Lord sees that we need both the heights and depths of prosperity, adversity, to properly instruct us and to qualify us for a position he designed for us in the future. Let us then, as the apostle did, learn how to be abound, not allowing the abundance of earthly goods to sway us from our consecration vows, and learn also how to be in want, need, not for the want of anything below, beyond what the Lord's wisdom and providence sees best to give. To what? To be content in what the Lord has provided for us. I think this is a big challenge for us. Contentment when we're surrounded with restless seas, but knowing all things will work together for good. God has provided everything that we need, both spiritual and temporal, whether we have a lot or little. Like Paul said, therewith to be content. Why? Because we trust in our Father. We know that he is overruling everything for our highest welfare. Philippians 4:12. I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. And in every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. Then what the punchline, if you would. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who strengtheneth me. So no matter what our condition of life, God will always provide the strength to give us at the proper time. He will give us what we need at the proper time. He will give us the experiences at the proper time. Doesn't that give you a peace of mind, brethren, that no matter what of life's circumstances, God knows best? As the TV program long time ago says, Father knows best. And if we, doesn't that give you a peace of mind? Brethren, finally, we go back to the beginning. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer, brethren. I have overcome the world. John 16:33-34. We know, come tomorrow morning, we know we're going to have tribulation. But we also know that all things will work together for our highest welfare. We also know that we'll always be heard. We also know that God's provided everything needful and decent for us. We also know that he has provided guardian angels for us through all our life's experiences. Brethren, shouldn't that give us the peace while we see the world being in turmoil, in chaos? Shouldn't we rejoice that we have this relationship, that we have a fellow burden bearer, yoke bearer, that our Father is aware of our experiences? We know the what, why, and outcome. Father, brethren, the Lord bless us as we go forth and strive to glorify his name.